Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan, just talking a little bit about last night, the NBA draft. You got Tyrese Proctor from Duke, basically, has a shot to be a part of the team next year. Will be a part of the team next year. The question is how much he plays or not. But Tyrese Proctor from Duke, who the Cavaliers picked in the second round, is he going to be able to help out this roster? Where is this roster going? And what does the roster look like right now? And then also, Jeff, I do want to talk about here before we get to Sam Amico at 12:20, the impact of Dan Gilbert, maybe perhaps according to a report that he's going to sell a minority stake of the team, or at least he's looking to do that. First, let's go through the roster as we sit here tonight. And by adding Proctor, that does what?
Maybe makes you a little deeper on the wing. Hopefully he can play, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully he can play. And we're not disrespecting him or anything else. It's the reality of second round draft choices in the NBA. Hopefully he can become one of those guys who comes in and actually becomes a big time NBA player, because it happens. I mean, there's usually one or two guys out of every draft who you think, yeah, that guy was pretty good. And maybe he can become one of those guys. Right now, according to Basketball Reference, the Cavaliers have 10 players under contract for next year.
Okay.
With guarantees for next year. And they also now have Proctor. So, and he'll have one of those. So that'll be 11 guys under contract for next year. The one thing about the roster, when I look at it, Andy, and I still wonder, and every time anybody says, boy, you're going to, you should trade Jared Allen, which I think is a terrible idea. Right now they have three players on the team who are taller than 6'8".
Oh, I thought you were going to say three players making more than 20 million. They actually have more than that.
I'm not worried about the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's my department. Okay. That's not me.
I'm looking
at the team. I'm not paying them. It's not my money. So I'm just looking at the team. I think they're small. I think they need at least one more big guy, if not two. And if you're going to talk about, we talked about the Indiana Pacers and the toughness and everything else. Not that the Pacers were very big, but they clearly out-toughed the Cavaliers, didn't they?
Yes.
Seemed to.
Yes.
Well, what are usually good tough guys? Is it 6'1", 6'2", 6'3", guys? Or is it 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", guys?
You could start at 6'6", and go higher if you wanted to.
Right now, the only guys on the team who are taller than 6'8", and the 6'8" guy is Amani Bates, and he's might weigh 120 pounds.
Hmm.
Dean Wade, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen. That's it. Those are your only guys who are taller than 6'8". And I just think you need some bigger guys. It seems simple to me. You need more size. Size seems to benefit you when you're in the NBA.
Especially during the playoffs if you're playing a little bit more physical, yeah.
Well, maybe. And I just think you need to do that. DeAndre Hunter's also 6'8". He's also lean and mean, but he's a pretty good defender. I like DeAndre.
Is Tristan gone off this list?
Yeah, okay, Tristan. So. If Tristan's back, Andy, he won't play any more than he did this year. So I wouldn't count on him to be a factor from a playing standpoint. No disrespect. He's 34, and he's clearly not LeBron or Kevin Durant when it comes to being able to produce at a high level at an older age.
They only had two guys on the roster last year that were over 30, right? Tristan and Javonte Green,
Came in late.
Yeah,
I would be surprised if Tristan's back. Maybe he will be. I'd be even more stunned if they play him any great length of time. So I would think they still need to go into free agency here, looking for that veteran who wants to sign for the veteran minimum, and think that this would be a good spot for a year.
Is this where I ask you if LeBron's coming back or not, without asking you that?
So I think that's what they have to look at, is getting some size there.
Was that an answer by not answering?
Yes. And I wonder, are you looking to keep the core four together? Fine. I wonder if you have any trade value. You tell me if you guys think that these guys have any trade value.
Okay. Garland, yes.
I'm not talking about those guys.
Okay.
Ty Jerome.
Mitchell, yes.
Ty Jerome's a free agent. Sam Merrill's a free agent. You know, you could do sign and trade with those guys, maybe. Again, when it comes to all the money stuff, I'm not your guy. I'll readily admit that. But, you know, it might be possible to pull off some kind of sign and trade or something like that. Does Isaac Okoro have any trade value? Because if you have Jalen Tyson at 6'6 on the wing, who can do some things offensively and play some D, and if you have Proctor on the wing and handling the ball as well, who can play some D, as David Shumate told us in the 11 o'clock hour,
right,
play-by-play voice at Duke, thought he was a really terrific outside defender, and can handle the ball and shoot the three, which Isaac doesn't do either of those very well. I'm sure they'd love to move him. He's making some money. I wonder, can you get anything from him in a trade?
Other than getting him off the books?
Other than getting him off the books. Could you find a team that has a spare big guy? And maybe you throw in a couple of second-round picks and you just swap players? Hey, you take our guy who we're not crazy about anymore, even though the Cavs will tell you they're crazy about him, but they keep drafting guys his size who have his skill set plus offense.
Yes.
So that should be telling, shouldn't it?
Yes.
In this new world of the NBA with these two aprons, I don't think he has any value because he's got a $10 million contract and every team is already in the first apron. So there's no place that you can even go, okay, here's Isaac Okoro and 3 second round picks. Like, I don't even know if that exists anymore.
Interesting.
There's value to a team that might believe that he is hasn't reached his potential here or something. I don't know, a team
that clearly wants a guy who's a physical 6'5 guy who can play some defense.
Who's a real good defender, but boy, if the finals have taught us anything of late, you can't have those guys on the floor.
Yeah, I know.
They get played off the floor in the playoffs.
That's why I'm wondering if there's anything there.
And you're not going to win 5-on-4 offensively.
I personally think if they
go in Steph Curry,
right,
and I don't mean to pick on Isaac. It's just we've seen plenty of him, and the offensive game's just not there.
But Jeff, just even to reiterate things that you say all the time, it's the fit, and I don't. Does anyone feel like the fit is there for him right now?
Well, let's put it this way. What are you going to think next year? And we saw that winning like crazy in the regular season, though good, isn't the be-all, end-all, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you got smoked in the second round of the playoffs. What are you going to think next year if Kenny Atkinson turns to his bench and puts in Isaac Okoro while Jalen Tyson doesn't play? Or while Tyrese Proctor doesn't play?
You're right. I think the same thing you're thinking.
Those are 6'6", 6'5 guys. Which one do you want to play? Let me rephrase that. Which one don't you want to play? Well, if it's a choice of two of those guys getting minutes, I don't want it to be Isaac. I've seen enough. So I would give the minutes to the other guys, and if I could move Isaac, I would.
I know this might not sound right, but I also think there's an X factor to this roster next year. As you continue, I mean, your thoughts on the potential for Isaac to be any kind of value to try to go to another team. And I can't remember who said this to us earlier in the week, but it started me thinking a little bit more about DeAndre Hunter. Cause I think we kind of took him.
I hope he starts.
Yeah. I mean, we took him for a little bit for granted because when he came in, the team had won like 16 in a row, something like that. When he first came in,
the team was hot like crazy.
And then it's not like he was 100% during the playoffs. And for some reason, I just don't feel like we hit the potential. But the point that was brought up that I thought was kind of brilliant was Hunter now has a chance to come into camp with the team, be ready for the season. It's not like you're just trying to throw some guy in and
he had to learn on the fly, and he did a pretty good job of it.
He did. And imagine now that he's got a little bit of a ramp to understand these guys even more and to see what he looks like in a full season with he could be such a dangerous X factor for Mitchell or for Mobley in trying to make this thing sing a little bit more than it was. I'm looking forward to that.
Can I tell you something that I saw that you're not going to like?
Don't tell me this. Keep going. Yep.
I don't agree with this. I wouldn't do this. I've seen a couple of places where analysts have written DeAndre Hunter would be a good trade chip.
For what, again, I ask?
Well, that's my point, is I think with fit, he's the perfect fit.
I think you got to let that marinate more.
I do, yeah. Too. I wouldn't think of moving DeAndre Hunter, personally. I think, except for one thing, he's making like $24 million. That's a lot of money. And this team, with the second apron and all that, he's expected to make $24.9 million. Excuse me, 23.3 next year.
23 this year, 24.9 next year, yeah.
And so, you know, he's got a lot of money. But he's also the guy you went out and traded for. And I think he is a really good fit, along with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley and your guards.
Does that change if you maybe if you think he's the good fit?
And I'd bring Max Strus off the bench. I'd love to see that kind of energy coming off the bench.
Does Hunter flow, though, if Garland's and I say yes, but if Garland's not on the team or you decide you're going to trade Jared Allen, does that change the way you think about him if you don't have those other guys on the roster? That's a conversation they probably would kick around for a second. I like DeAndre Hunter. I don't care
who
he's playing with.
If they found, you know, I think Darius is a really good player. It's about fit. And I think they could be a more dangerous playoff type of team if they had a different fit in the backcourt. I've made no effort to change my thought on that because I still believe it. Yet I think Darius is a really good NBA player. It's about the fit. And I think DeAndre's scoring with the Cavs probably will never be what it was when he was with the Hawks. You're just looking at it quickly, he averaged 14 points a game just coming in with the Cavs. He averaged 19. He was the leading scorer off the bench in the NBA in Atlanta this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so averaged a few points fewer. But he's never been, you know, a high 20-point-a-game guy. I just think that he's going to need shots in this offense. And Jared Allen probably won't get as many looks. Evan should get more looks. Donovan should keep about the same number of looks he had in the regular season. And please don't, even though you might need to, jack up 29 or 30 shots a game in the playoffs. And I'd love to see Darius be more pass first and score second. I think it would make them a better team all the way around.
Sam Amico tries to put some kind of perspective on everything that we've been talking about this morning when it comes to the Cavaliers, or this afternoon, when it comes to Tyrese Proctor being drafted last night and where this team's going, and just the roster that even we just discussed. Where is this thing going for the Cavaliers? It's Baskin and Phelps, 216-474-0092-923 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. That is you. 216-474-0092. We will be joined shortly by super friend of the show, Sam Amico from HoopsWire.com. And then Ben Broussard is going to join us at 1 o'clock. He's the former Indians first baseman. I want to talk a little bit about the Guardians with him, where this team is right now, and where they're going with this thing, and maybe a little power issues. And then yesterday, the whole fiasco about the unwritten rule of hitting somebody. That I found to be a fascinating story, but this guy is who we're going to hit up next. He is Sam Amico, and right now he's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Sammy, my man. Sammy. How are you?
I'm well, Andy. I thought maybe you were going to use fascinating to introduce me, but...
The fascinating Sam Amico. Is that better?
I think it's got a nice ring.
All right. We sat through 2 days of the draft. The first day was interesting for us because you were like, oh, is Cooper Flagg going to go first? Is Ron Harper's kid going after that? You know, and so kind of, you know, waddled our way through that first round. And then yesterday, finally, the Cavaliers get on the clock, and it's during a commercial, so we have to wait till they come back from commercial break to find out that the Cavaliers were able to grab Tyrese Proctor from Duke. Your thoughts on the pick?
Well, they seem to like it. You know, we heard Mike Gansey late last night, talked about the pick a little bit, said that they had him much higher on their draft board. And that's why you take a guard there when, you know, you're not necessarily – everybody knows the Cavs need a backup big, right? But mm-hmm. I think you always go with the guy who's at the top of your draft board, and that's who they had there. I'm assuming that he's going to be a guy who's going to go through the pipeline a little bit, the development pipeline and the G League and all that. And I think that's why you draft there. It's like we got a guy that we're going to have for another at least 5-6 years. And instead of going with need, you go with a guy who's we think he's really going to be a good NBA player at some point.
So they draft a guy who's 6'6", or 6'5", and then you draft a guy you're going to stash who's 6'6", and sign another guy to the Exhibit 10 contract, which might mean he can be in the G League who's 6'6", I think Janie Johnson from Auburn. Acquiring guys that size, what does that mean for a guy like Max Strus, who we would think is safe on this team, a guy like Isaac Okoro, who we're wondering if he's safe on this team?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I think that more than anything, guys, it seems like, you know, you look at that part of the draft and it's almost like a baseball situation now. It used to be an immediate help. How do we find a guy who's going to contribute immediately? Now, you hope to get lucky enough to find that. But I think more or less it's who can we draft for our farm system? You know, and that's just kind of the way the NBA has changed. So you're probably setting yourself up for potentially, Jeff, as you suggest or hinted at, an Isaac Okoro type of thing where they could, you know, they've been exploring trades there. So, yeah, you'd be protecting yourself in that area too. Obviously, we don't have Sam Merrill and Ty Jerome. If you're the Cavs, you're thinking we don't have them under contract right at the moment. So, yeah, you're certainly setting yourself up for some protection in that area. But I think for the most part, probably, guys, hey, let's see how these guys look in 3 years for us. Mm.
What do you think their mindset was going into this draft? Do you think that they, you know, Jeff and I talked about the fact that the Nets had 5 first-round picks. Do you think that they were trying to, maybe somewhere in the back of their mind, they were trying to maybe pluck one of those picks away from those guys from the Nets? Or do you think that they knew going into this thing, because of the salary cap implications they have going forward, hey, we're just going to take our 2 picks and figure it out from there?
I thought that they liked Proctor enough that they were willing to package those 2 picks to move up to higher in the second round. They just could not find a deal. So, you know, they in their eyes, they were very fortunate that he fell. But no, I don't think that they wanted to move into the first round, because then all of a sudden you have guaranteed salary when you're already under a salary crunch. And you look at guys like Craig Porter Jr., obviously Jalen Tyson, maybe Amani Bates. These are guys who you're looking at, well, they're, you know, at least Tyson and Porter are already under contract. We're under a salary crunch. We have high hopes for them. And you know, the Cavs aren't in a position to add another guaranteed salary, which is what a first round pick would have provided. So I do think that they were hoping to move up into the 40s, if early 40s, if not late 30s, with their 2 picks that they ended up getting Proctor with one of them anyway.
Sam Amico joining us. Sam, you first thing out of your mouth, everybody knows they need another big guy. All right. In the situation they're in, they didn't draft anybody. How do they find one?
The best way to do that for them is probably going to be a trade, at least a guy who can contribute anyway, is a playable backup center, power forward type, preferably, you know, 6'10", 6'11", kind of guy. How do you find him? That's a great question. I don't know that they're going to be able to get one in free agency. There just aren't, number one, there aren't a ton out there. There are some that you could get for the veteran minimum. That's probably going to come later, closer to training camp. But it seems to me the way they've been going about approaching that and filling that need is by exploring trade talks. Obviously, we've heard Isaac Okoro mentioned quite a bit. Dean Wade mentioned quite a bit. They're not having any luck with either of those guys. But you know what? Later in free agency, in August, September, as training camp gets around and teams start seeing, opposing teams start seeing, we could really use a scrappy defensive wing now that we've kind of filled out our roster, then those teams are going to start looking at the Okoros and the Wades. I suspect it would be closer, though, to training camp at the end of September, start of October.
So when free agency starts, what, in 3 days? Don't expect the Cavs to be active. Is that what you're saying?
No, they'll try to be active, probably more in trade talks than the actual free agency. Their priorities are going to be Ty Jerome would be their first, I would imagine, and then they will take it from there. Kobe Altman has said they also want Sam Merrill back. Sam Merrill played a pretty critical role for them. They really liked his defense, which was not his calling card going into the season, but the way he made strides in that area, Sam Merrill, both of those players, you know, came out of nowhere this year, really, Merrill and Jerome. So they would like to get both of those guys back, and I think that's going to be what they're locked in on, because, you know, if once they get that settled, then you can move on to kind of start filling your needs. But I do think they'll be active in the sense that Kobe Altman's always very aggressive. You know, we've heard him be in a lot of talks. He went out and made the Donovan Mitchell trade when no one saw it coming. So I just don't know. You know, they're not going to have a lot of money to work with, a lot of financial wiggle room. I don't know if you're going to see them sign anybody beyond their top two guys. But it's possible. It's always possible with Kobe Altman.
Sam Amico joining us, hoopswire.com. Sam had coverage like crazy on the draft, second round, all the signings afterwards and everything else, and we'll continue to do that in the offseason here. I want to go back to a guy we mentioned earlier, and that's Max Strus. I like Max. I would like to see him, you know, coming off the bench for this team, because I'd like to see DeAndre Hunter in the starting lineup instead of Max. However, under J.B. Bickerstaff, he started every game and played 32 minutes a game. Kenny Atkinson came in, and Max had some injuries last year, obviously. He didn't play in as many games, only 50. But his playing time was down 6.5 minutes a game and didn't start every game. Could he be a guy they trade, Sam? Or do you think they're locked into having Max on this team?
No, I think that's a guy that's potentially a trade chip. And look, everybody loves him, right? What effort he gives.
He's a good player.
Yeah, he's a good player. He's, you know, if you talk about how the Cavs need toughness, well, there's never any question with him. He's the probably toughest guy there, right? So I think that, yeah, that's something that you would explore, though, because you don't usually want to trade your all-star players. And you know, they have three, and Jared Allen's a borderline all-star most seasons. What you want to do is add reinforcements around them. Now, Max Strus is kind of the guy, a reinforcement that you would go out and try to get, right? He's kind of your Alex Caruso, but you need more of him. So is it possible to move him for the type of player you need? Yeah, I would think so. And I don't think that the Cavs are having any discussions involving him at all. I don't think that, you know, a lot of teams are calling on him, but he's kind of your 3-and-D guy, just a little bit undersized at it, but has been fantastic for them. So in order to get something that you want, you have to give up something that you really like a lot of times. And you know, Wade, Okoro definitely are in that conversation. Somebody like Strus could slide into that conversation, sure. because that I think would bring you even more.
Well, the fact that, you know, Proctor's size and Jalen Tyson's size, it's basically Max Strus, it's basically Isaac Okoro. I'd be hard pressed to think that all four of those guys are here next year, and you know, there are other guys in that same range and might play similar roles. So I think that's an area to keep an eye on this offseason. It could be interesting.
For sure. They have a lot of wing players, right? I mean, and they just added another one in the draft.
Right? Hey, Sammy. So, oh, sorry. Finish
no,
that
go
thought.
Ahead.
No, I just want to say, you know, we were talking about this the other day, too, that if you go and look at the odds on the Cavaliers for next year, they're favored to win the East as of today. I'm just curious your thoughts on that. And I know betting is one thing. It's like they're trying to get people to bet. And so why not offer these good odds, you know, this way or that way? But, you know, they're the highest team in the East and second in the NBA behind Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I mean, as constructed, this is going to sound crazy, and it's just not homerism. Just the way the rosters are today, I wouldn't even need to bet or place a bet or anything. I don't do that anyway, but I just... My view of it is, yeah, they're the top team going into the Eastern Conference next year, and they should come out of the East as built without adding anything. And I think they're going to add some pieces. I think they're going to, you know, at least edges of the roster, right around the margins, they're going to go out. They will find a playable backup big. I don't have any doubt about that. And I don't know that they'll do anything else. And I still think, yeah, this is the team that should come out of the Eastern Conference next year. Now, other teams are going to make some moves, right? Is Philly ever going to pull it together? I doubt it, but if they do, they could be dangerous, right? Mm-hmm. Milwaukee, what's their situation going to be with Giannis Antetokounmpo? Are they going to move him, or are they going to find the right pieces to put around him? So there are other teams. Obviously, the Knicks are going to be in the conversation, despite the fact they've gone like 9 weeks now without a coach and have no idea who the coach is going into free agency. So, yeah, I think that there are a lot of teams there that could unseat them. Orlando, certainly in the conversation now. But to me, the Cavs right now with Boston, you know, liquidating all their good players and Tyrese Halliburton going down. It's wide open, but I also know that there's only one team in the conference that went 64-18. And I think in their first year under their coach, right? Under the first year under Kenny Atkinson. So, yeah, I think they're the pretty clear favorites right now. But again, do they have the toughness to make it happen in the playoffs? And that's something that Kobe Altman said they intend to address.
We shall see, my friend, and we'll find out as we're reading Hoops Wire all along the way, too. He is Sam Amico from Hoops Wire. Thank you, Sammy.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for having me, and I hope to get a little tougher before next season, too.
I hope so.
We're open for that.
Why don't you go in the weight room? That might help out.
All right. There we go.
Go find a way. Okay, bye, Sam.
Bye.
And, of course, Sam Amico on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So this morning I was on Miller & Moulton, which is a show down in South Florida.
Ding!
And
did you get paid?
No, never. I talk to those guys all the time. Problem was they called me. I was still sleeping, and
that was nice.
Five minutes to get ready and just kind of think.
So in other words, they don't have a producer like Dano who's booking ahead of time, or were you booked and you slept all the way through?
Oh no, I just slept right up into
okay,
it.
Okay, nice job.
You know, like I said, daughter's birthday. We were kind of we stayed up late last night just to kind of. To ring in the new year for her. So, they asked me this question, and I think he was expecting me to be all hot and bothered about the Browns going to a dome that's outside of the city limits of Cleveland. And he goes, and this is what caught me off guard in the beginning. The first question he asked me, he said, I guess people aren't as mad up there as I thought they would be about the team moving out of the city. And I'm like, is he right or is he wrong? And I wonder where he's getting his information from. This is before I even said a word. So I'm going to ask both of you guys this real quick. Where do you think we're at? Do you think fans have just kind of accepted the fact they're moving out to Brooke Park? End of story. And if you want to complain or be mad about it, just be mad about it and complain about it, because this thing, the train's not going back into the station.
They might be accepting it. I haven't heard a whole lot of opinion one way or the other. And that to me means accepting it more. I got an email yesterday. One of my regular folks who send me notes is steamed that the public funding wasn't put to a public vote. And I responded and said, actually, it was, because we elected the state legislators who decided spending all this money was a good idea. So there were elections.
Yeah.
Because we put representatives in place and they decided this. I think people are kind of resigned to the fact that it's going to Brooke Park. And I also think that if you took a good look and see what this should be for our community, and what it could add to Northeast Ohio, I think you got something. Better than sinking. The worst idea of all was sinking $500 million into the existing stadium. That was just not a good idea. I never understood that.
It didn't for its stadium, and you were looking to perhaps extend the life of the stadium by how many years? That's the question.
15?
Maybe.
And the other thought was this. I've always said, our stadium now is an okay place to watch a football game. You get in, you sit down, the sight lines are good. Mm-hmm. I think it's better than an okay place to watch a football game, if that's all you want. And the Haslams want more. The NFL wants more.
Oh, that's true.
And I would think a lot of our fans want more. And rather than sink $500 million into it, well, then, you know, just do routine maintenance and use it for another 4 or 5 years and revisit a new stadium down the road. But that's not what's going to happen.
They also asked me another question about, do you really think Cleveland's going to get a Super Bowl? And I said, no, probably not. I don't know. Maybe they'll get one in my lifetime is what I thought.
It's not going to become a regular stop.
No.
It's not Los Angeles.
I mean, one. Maybe one. We might see in the next two decades.
How many has Detroit had? Just one? Or have they had two? I don't know. How many? Minnesota? I don't know.
By the way, if we hosted the Super Bowl, it would be the first time, because we're like one of the only cities that hasn't either had a team play or host the Super Bowl in the NFL.
That's wonderful. One thing to keep in mind.
The better question is,
we all live here.
Yes.
Northern climates are not exactly where you want to throw a party in February. And that's what the Super Bowl is. Even with a dome, that's why you're not going to end up having, you know, Cleveland be a spot on the revolving Super Bowl tour.
Silverdome had the Super Bowl in 82, and then Ford Field had it in 06.
So, they're two.
So.
And that's not a regular stop, correct?
No. That's two. I mean, really, who?
And they've had indoor facilities forever.
Yeah. I just think people have accepted it at this point, and they've just kind of moved on. I don't know. I mean, do you really think we're going to get a Super Bowl? Maybe we'll get one.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm more looking forward to the other things that could happen in there.
You're not spending all that money to have a great week. You're spending all that money to have something that is transformational in our community 365 days a year.
The thought of having an NCAA playoff game here as a neutral site is super excites me. Like, I think that's more of a possibility than anything else. To think that
a Final Four?
One of the Final Four games. No, a final. You mean from basketball? Yeah, that'd be fun too. Look, we've done a fantastic job hosting the regionals here and the second round of the NCAA basketball tournament. That's been fun. But, you know, I would love it if there was a way to try to bring maybe even just the Big Ten championship game. I mean, now you can bid on it. You couldn't bid on it before. It wasn't going to happen. Now you'll have the option to at least put a bid on. If you lose, you got to figure out a way to try to get some things out of Indianapolis. Indy has been sitting here just as a Midwest gold mine for anybody that really wanted to do something in as a dome, and constantly putting new dates in. I mean, that was a brilliant move by the city of Indianapolis to put that to put a dome in there and to be able to do that. And I mean, even back to the Hoosier Dome, but when they came up with Lucas Oil, man, that was this. I literally struck gold.
Primo. I think.
It was great. Dan, what's your feeling on this? Has it settled in?
I think people have just, there are some people who are still going to be mad, and they're going to be mad until the end of time. And I think for the majority of people, it's just become a reality that it's like, okay, this is happening. And while we're going to be mad about this and have a problem with it, it's happening. And I think that's, everybody's just kind of resigned to it. And there is a chunk that's bummed because football won't be outside anymore. There's a chunk that's worried because they're going to get priced out of tickets. There's a chunk that's mad because they don't like where the money is coming from the unclaimed funds, and think that that needs to go somewhere else besides giving a billionaire a stadium. And I think there's the biggest chunk of all of them going, all right, it's the reality of our situation. And I think there's a chunk that is looking at this and going, great, this is perfect. You know what would be awesome? To have Kendrick Lamar come to Cleveland. You know what would be awesome? To have Beyonce come to Cleveland. Like, that would be awesome. These massive tours that are coming around every single year that people are spending way too much money on would be fantastic if they were in Cleveland. Like, that's the other side of this. Is there so many other things that opens the door for Cleveland to hold this stuff by having this dome? It's not just the Super Bowl. It's all this other stuff.
No.
It's more the other stuff.
I'm more liking them. And I don't know if this is the way it's going to play out or not, but if you're trying to go on the emotional roller coaster for this thing, is it worse or better than the baseball team changing its name? You know, that's the, and by the way, last year, Guardians, for all those people that said they were never going to watch the Guardians again after they changed their name, they were 9th out of 15th in attendance. So right now they're 10th out of 15 in attendance, but that's, and limited because they just haven't played as many home games at this point. So, you know, like, if the Guardians won the World Series, is anyone really going to, oh, I'm not still not rooting for them because they changed their name. Are you going to really not root for the Browns because they moved out to Burke Park?
Well, of course. And it's due to the fact that there's a couple dum-dums in every single crowd. There's a couple people who go, this is my line. I'm planting my feet in the sand and I will look no further. And sadly, those are the people who will scream the loudest. And so you will see them show up to miscellaneous things because they're the ones who have stuck their feet in the ground and are making the most noise and everything else. And it's going to be a reflection of other people who feel completely differently because usually the dumb yells the loudest.
I think if you're looking for a politician to save the day for you, you're going to be disappointed 99% of the time. That's the point here. And it's like, so the voices that you're hearing about, you know, this isn't going, this isn't going to happen, they're loud voices. They're really loud. Or maybe we just make them louder because we want to hear the other side of the story. I think everyone would have liked to have seen this stadium get built in downtown Cleveland. I do. I think even the Browns felt that way for a long time. And
I'm not so sure about that.
You think the Browns want a dome from day one? I don't think so.
A dome?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would think so. That's the way the NFL's going.
I don't know that the Haslams were. It just felt like early on that wasn't going to happen. That they weren't looking for a dome, and I don't even truly think they were looking to move out of downtown. But the only we're reason watching all this stuff play out in front of us with the politicians, and if I was a business person, and whether we got tax dollars or not, willing to invest over $2 billion into a project. And I've got people saying no because of this or that, because I'm looking for a little bit of a partnership on this or a big partnership with some tax dollars along the way. I'd be frustrated.
The thing that that sticks in my head about this with the project in Cleveland is the Haslams, after the dome, plan to put in huge development with hotels and shops and everything else to make it more than just a stadium.
Right.
And my question is, I wonder if that's something that they wanted to do in downtown Cleveland, or if they thought that project.
Well, there was plans to try to, you know, bolster that area down there by the stadium. At one point, there was.
Well,
what happened? But, like, why didn't those ever go forward?
Exactly, and the stadium is still sitting there. My guess is, if they were going to put that kind of money into a project, they weren't going to put it in downtown Cleveland. Instead, they're putting a project with housing and offices and shopping and everything else where it's a little more accessible to everybody in Northeast Ohio.
And isn't it more accessible to the, I mean, in some ways, I don't know that it matters on game day, but you're a stone's throw away from your own complex in Berea.
It doesn't hurt.
You know, and they're also investing all that money in Berea. I mean, the new stadium that they're going to put up at the practice facility that is going to house what Berea Mid Park's going to, or yeah, Berea, or Berea Mid Park High School, Berea High School, is going to play in there. You know, like I was at Finney 2 weeks ago, and I was like, well, it feels like that high school is right on their campus. It's on BW's campus. But to think about...
Well, it is. It's right next door.
Yeah. Although, you know, if you look at the city line between Burke Park and Cleveland, it's 2 million miles away. No, it's actually connected there. So I just... I think fans have just kind of sunk their teeth into this and just said, okay, this is reality. Especially when the Cuyahoga County Council, which I don't think a lot of us even knew existed, were turned to Dan Ronayne, who's in charge of the county, and said... this is inevitable. This is coming.
Well, and
we've got to think forward.
If you can wrap your head around it, think about what's coming to our region. That's pretty cool. I think that's a really good thing.
But at what point is it going to take? Because I think these are kind of the same feelings folks had too before Gateway was built.
Andy,
remember? Let's
you remember
not forget
the first time you ever walked in that for a game?
Oh,
either one
chilling.
Of those.
Chilling.
Yeah, I know. It was
more
really
so.
Great.
More so the ballpark.
I thought so, too. There's only so much you can do with an arena.
Right.
But a ballpark's a different type of thing. There's only so much you can do with a football stadium, especially.
No, that's true, too.
But with a dome, and this is going to be something entirely different for our community. And I personally hope it ends up being great. I think it will be.
I think the first time you walk in, when it's complete, if you can have that same feeling you had when you walked into... Was it Jacobs Field at that point? Probably for me at that point.
It was Indians Park.
Yeah.
Until like the first game. Until then, hours before the first game.
Mike, quickly, Mike and Stowe, quickly.
Yes. All right. So, yeah, it's kind of like, I agree with you, Andy, kind of like the Indians name change.
Yeah.
You know, we just got to deal with it. You know, it's going to happen. You know, Chris Ronayne is the guinea pig clown, whatever they get up there to say the other side. It's all about just hearing it. It's going to happen either way. One thing, a couple of things I will say is this, you know, you can't support all that with everything they wanted to put with it. They're going to put with it. It'd be so hard to do that downtown. It's going to be much more.
I think so too, Mike.
It's so crowded down there, Jeff. And I talked about it the other day, you know, that's tough getting in and out of there. And you may not say it matters on game day, Andy, but when I'm trying to get home,
it matters to try to get in. It matters. It's hard. It's not easy.
It's tough too.
Yeah.
You want to get out of there. And look, there's a pedestrian safety factor there too, because everybody's trying to go down East 9th. It's a gauntlet. Everybody's running across the street. It's not the best thing. And all these bigger stadium projects are outside the city now. They're not downtown. And I'll give you one thing, Jeff, about the Super Bowls. You know, in the cold weather, you talk about it, guess what? There's been two Minnesota Super Bowls already. We'll get one. It does not matter how damn cold it is in Cleveland. We'll get one if we have a dome, and that'll be great.
Thank you, Mike. Mike and Stowe checking in.
Yeah, I would think Cleveland gets one, but it's not going to be like Los Angeles, a regular stop on the Super Bowl tour, or New Orleans, certainly.
Ben Broussard next, Baskin and Phelps.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.